Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out at Grace Ranch in West Texas this morning. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just come before you again today, Lord, and we thank you for walking with us this entire past week. And Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come together again, Lord, not only to worship you, Lord, but to learn from you. Open our eyes, open our minds, Lord, open our understanding, so that we can hear the words that you have for us today, so that we may understand their meaning. And thank you, Lord, just for giving us your grace, your mercy, and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lift your name on high, Lord, I love to sing your praise.
you are mine. I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came from heaven to earth to shout away. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you are my life.
So glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
You came
from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on
filled with dancing.
May our streets be filled with joy.
May injustice bow to Jesus
as the people turn and pray. From the mountains to the
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Amen. Let's see here. I'd like everybody to turn over to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to go to verse 9 and start there. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Lord. To do that, you have to believe that God raised him from the dead. If you believe that, then you have to believe on him and every word that Jesus ever said and every word that is written in the Bible. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. When you do that, your words are coming from your heart. Because we know the mouth expresses what is in a person's heart. And you hear it so many times from people out in the world, what is truly in their hearts. Because you'll hear them start going off about different things. You'll hear them speaking different things. And a lot of times when they're angry, you hear exactly where they're coming from.
Yes, sir. I apologize.
Volume was getting a little low there. Your mouth speaks your heart. So when you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that is what is in your heart. When you first come to him and you bow down on your knees and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, you're acknowledging who he is. And that's coming from your heart. A lot of times it comes from desperation in your heart. But it is still coming from your heart, and the words are coming from your mouth. That's important. Because if you're doing it just to please somebody else, it will show up. It will manifest itself in a way that those around you will know that you did not make the confession from your heart. Eleven goes on, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's cool. That is a great thing. It is beautiful. There's so many things out there that can try to tear you down and tear you away. Expression of our faith in Jesus comes when we witness and we talk to others and we share our belief and we share the words of the Bible and we share the gospel with them in hopes that one day they will perform what's in verse 9. God doesn't ask us to do the impossible. He doesn't ask us to go to seminary for 100 years to learn His words. He wants us to all come to Him. It is not my wish. It is not His wish. It is not the Holy Spirit's wish that any should fall away. Go forth. Believe His word. Walk in His word. Show your love one to another. Show your faith. Give grace to those around you, and peace and mercy will follow. Amen. Come on up, Robin.
That's a good scripture that you read. Verse 9 of Romans 10. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Just taking that for a minute. You know, there are a lot of people, and a lot of times when we confess that He is the Lord Jesus, but when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, it is an indication of our heart whereby He is the Lord of our life. And it is out of that that we then exhort and stand in the faith. That is the confession, not just saying He is Lord. That's a truth. But when He has become that Lord, where that which is not under His lordship, we are quick to repent of or quick to shine a light of. That is the confession with our mouth of the Lord Jesus. It's not just words. It's when He is our Lord that that confession comes forth. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. See, that's that hope and that knowledge on Him and that faith that we have been taught that is His faith that works that work that brings us unto righteousness. See what I'm saying? And in that, verse 11, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. It is the truth. It shall be manifested. There is no shame in standing by the gospel of Jesus Christ and living under His lordship and walking in obedience to the faith and letting Him have His way in us.
Closer walk with Thee when
did Jesus live, you please. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. From abroad, I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee, just so close to walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please.
Praise the Lord.
Well, praise God. You know, one thing, and I'm going to take you to Hebrews 6, and then we're going to go to somewhere in the gospel, but that righteousness that it's talking about there is not our righteousness. It's that righteousness was imputed unto us because we choose to believe God. It's His righteousness. And Hebrews 6, I think, hits on something I want to see, because I think it kind of describes where we are as a nation. See, the Hebrews, of course, Paul's writing to the Hebrews here, and the Hebrews were God's church, right? The Hebrews were God's church. They had been God's church. Paul was a Hebrew. Peter was a Hebrew. John was a Hebrew. All these guys were Hebrews. And, of course, what did the Hebrews do? They crucified the Lord, right? They crucified the Lord. Well, mind you, yeah, I mean, the Romans had a part in it because Pilate, of course, is political. And just like so many other folks, he saw, oh, my God, if I don't crucify this righteous man, then I'm going to have an uproar on me. So he joined into it. But Jesus said, you know, the Hebrews' guilt was greater than his own, speaking of Pilate. But over in Hebrews 6, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, I wanted to read those two to you because, see, today the church has kind of come full circle. And so Paul's letter to the Hebrews is much like Paul writing to us. See, the church is screwed up, just like the Hebrew church was of his day. And yet hanging out with the other Hebrews, so to speak, is a lot easier. And what we do is we get into what? All of these different things, and we argue about them, and we fight. Well, no, that's not right, no, that's wrong, and all this other stuff. And we become completely unprofitable to the Lord. Completely unprofitable to the Lord. And see, that was going on up at Jerusalem, so he had to raise up a little persecution and a couple things to kick them out of Jerusalem. And then they became profitable to him. They actually got out and started speaking to people. And there was no longer about all these other things. You saw that with Paul. He'd go in, right? He'd go into the Jewish synagogue wherever he went, and he would share with them and everything. And when they decided that they didn't want to hear what he wanted to speak, exit stage left. If you don't consider yourself worthy of the kingdom of God, have it your way. And he went unto the Gentiles. And I'm going to turn that over here to, we're going to turn to Matthew 22 in a moment. But I wanted to bring it up from this perspective because, look, I mean, this last minister's convention, And these are important things. I mean, don't hear me wrong. Foundation of repentance from dead works. See, one of the things you hear and we've talked about is our dead works and how dead they were and how bad they are and how often we've walked in them, right? We talked a lot about that during the convention. And it's important for a very important reason to understand it. If you think that you're awesome and that you got it all together and that everybody else are the jerks in this world, then you're never going to be able to preach the gospel. But when you realize that, wait a second, I have met the enemy and it is me, now that compassion and grace that Christ shows unto you, you can have towards others. And so you have to come to the place where you realize despicable me. Kind of borrowing a pun from the funny movie or whatever that was done. But in the sense of despicable me. And you find out that, yep, you are despicable. And you find out just how thoroughly despicable you are. And we tend to not like finding out how utterly and completely and totally despicable we are. But when we realize it and we get over ourselves and realize that Christ yet died for us, yet loves us, and that's what his grace is there for, so that we can go forward in that new life he has for us, no longer in that despicable old life we're walking in, it's time. And in this fellowship and in this ministry, it's time. Don't you think? I mean, don't you think it's time now for us to turn from the despicable me message and recognize, okay, I get it. I'm despicable. And turn rather to that new creature in Christ who, because he believes God and the sufficiency of his blood and that faith that he has implanted in us and its ability to complete that work, that now we can go forward and share that same love with others. He's given us one another to practice on, right? And somehow or other, through it all, and I mean, we've been knocked down, drag them out, angry with one another, right? And never been angry with Bob, Corey. Just a wee bit. Just a little bit. Bob, you ever been angry with Davey? Yeah. Maybe Corey? Yeah. Maybe me? Yeah. Liar. The fact of the matter is we've been furious with one another. We have been angry. We've been all these things. And you know what? That's natural. It's natural to be that way. It's supernatural to love one another. It's supernatural to love one another. And the amazing thing is notwithstanding all of those frustrations, all of those different things, we're yet here, right? Amen. Isn't that an amazing thing? Are we here because of any testimony of goodness on our own part? Absolutely not. None. Zero. Zippo. Nada. But we're here because Jesus loves us. And he has put his grace upon us to cover all the stupid nonsense. And so he's saying here, look, folks, okay, you've got it now. Let's go on unto perfection. Let's not lay again this foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We get it. That is what it's about. Of the doctrine of baptisms, faith, we've been baptized on laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. All of these things we now know. We know them. There's not a person listening today on this that I'm aware of that is not fully apprised of all of this. Now, I wanted to turn over to Matthew 22 from that perspective.
22 what?
That's where I'm going. Let's see. Where is it? Verse 1. Praise God. That's easy. I don't know why I didn't remember that. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. See, the ones that were bidden to the wedding in Jesus' time were the Hebrews or the Jews, right? They were the ones who were bidden. In our days, it'd be the church. Let's find out what happens. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. So he's told them once, and now he tells them a second time. And this is their response. But they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Now this goes to what Bob and Robin were talking about, if you take what they were talking about together, because see, they confessed, if you will, they said the words, that Jesus is Lord. But he was not Lord of their life. When Jesus is Lord of your life, there's nothing more important than him. Right? I mean, absolutely nothing. There could be no more important thing. I mean, it's funny, I hear you watch movies and stuff like that, and I watch something like an old time movie, and like the president will call, like take Sergeant York or whatever, or somebody important will call, and they feel like they gotta go, and they gotta be dressed, and they gotta do all of these different things. And everybody has to go. But when Jesus calls, I mean, the King of the entire earth, the Lord of lords and King of kings, people make light of it. They make light of it. And it shows where people's hearts are. People's hearts are on the things of this world and not the things of the Lord. So what did they do? One went to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So those that he had sent to go forward, they were furious at. And not only treated them horribly, but killed them. The whole scripture, all of passage of scripture, that's the case. I mean, that's the case. The ones that did not die, it wasn't for lack of wanting to kill them. Right? I mean, they wanted to kill Moses. They just never could execute it. They wanted to kill Jeremiah. They wanted to do these different things, but they just weren't able to do it. Some they did. Like Zechariah, who was killed between the porch and the altar, as it says. And I say that because that is how his servants in every generation, this plays out. Every generation. There's never been a generation on the face of the earth where this has not been playing out. You know why? Because when you die, whether you enter into that, you've taken that wedding invitation and are going to be called to that wedding or not has been decided. You only have this lifetime to do it. That's every person on this earth. And so it goes on and he says, but they entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Well, that happened to Jerusalem in 70 AD, right? For the Jews. And you can see that the very same thing is poised to happen now unless there be a revival. And how is there going to be a revival unless somebody goes out and shares people that you're going the wrong way. Now watch what he does. And this is this part of sharing with people that you're going the wrong way. Jesus saith unto them, well, where am I? I missed. Okay, here it is. I was looking 41 on the other side. Sorry about that. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. That's the same thing Paul kept saying when he'd go to the Jews and they would not hear, that you consider yourselves unworthy of the kingdom of God. And their unworthiness, they didn't realize that's what they were saying, but it was because of their pride. They were pleased to be back there, arguing about baptisms and resurrection and all this other stuff. Go on unto perfection. They weren't interested in that. And he goes on. So those servants, he says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. This is the part Bob's talking about. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And I want to hit on this for a moment. Go out into the, as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. See, when we walk in that place where Jesus is our Lord of our life, when we walk in that place where we confess that with our entire life, and when we believe that he was raised from the dead, which means we believe in the most miraculous manifestation of the power of God there is, that something that is dead, gone, can be raised again. I mean, think of that. I mean, that is the most amazing, awesome thing. And when you believe that, then all the other things that he talks about now become, well, yeah, of course. I mean, of course he can handle that sickness. Of course he can handle whatever that demonic spirit is that's given you a problem. Of course he can handle whatever problem you've got. Of course he can handle it all, because he can handle that. There's nobody. I don't care how many textbooks you go through. I don't care how many universities you go to. I don't care how many people you talk to and how smart they think they are. There is not a single individual ever in human history that by their power and wisdom and knowledge has raised people from the dead. And this isn't just talking about raising them from the dead here, where they put like the, you know, the CPR on your chest or whatever. This is a part taking you out of the grave and into heaven. That's what that's talking about. Nobody can even touch, even brush that. And so when you believe that, then everything else seems small. Seems small. Easy. No problem. And so when you go forward in that, from that angle, then as you come into contact with people in the world, people come into contact with the truth of Jesus Christ. Whether you're openly speaking specifically of him and telling them the gospel or not, there is something different about you that they cannot deny, and that is obvious. And your word, your deeds, everything you do reflects that, and people are changed. They're brought to a place of decision. And that's what the Lord wants us to go forward in, is in that place where people are brought to a point of decision because we got it. And we know that if he could do this with us, despicable me, he can definitely do it with them, because we can't see, we can see maybe some despicableness, but we're so intimately familiar with our own despicableness that their despicableness seems minor in comparison to ours. And we got so many different people here who've come from so many different backgrounds that even if the person you're ministering to's despicableness that happens to not be your despicableness, you can relate it to somebody whose despicableness you're familiar with and go, I know that the Lord can handle that. How? I know somebody who was even worse than you. You should see him today. And so what happens is that hope just bubbles out. It comes out. You know, Davey's talked about that dunamis spirit that talks about that power of God is dunamis, and dunamis is essentially that self-perpetuating, it never runs out, makes the Energizer Bunny look tired, all right, because it just never runs out. That hope that you have because of God being with you and what he has done and your recognition of that then bubbles out and comes into contact with everybody you come into contact with. You just can't help it. You can't help yourself, because that's just who you now are. And in that place, you become the servant who now goes out to the people who know nothing. If you read it over in Luke 14, it's not the same parable. It's a little bit different. But it talks about there in Luke 14, it basically talks about going out to all the ones everybody else has rejected. And the reason why you can go out to those that are rejected and are despised by the world is because, you know, God's big enough to deal with them. And anyways, you're not looking to them for what you can gain from them. You're looking to them for what you can give to them. And so it changes completely. I mean, the idea of trying to gain from them isn't even part of your mindset. But what you can give unto them, by contrast, is. And in that place now, we can go on unto perfection. We can minister that love of God, not because we see ourselves as anything. We do it in true humility and meekness before God and love, because we know that notwithstanding the despicable me, he has set his love on us. We've tried everything to shake it, done everything we could to make clear that that was a stupid decision. In which we can all agree, yep, it's. I don't know why he loves him or her, right? And yet he has yet loved us. And so we can take it out. And we can share with people. And the wedding feast shall be furnished with guests. And the beauty is, we get to fellowship with them now. And then we get to share in that joy on that day together. Amen.
Where your blood ran red and my sin washed white.
Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Why I sing and shout. You ask me why I'm thankful when this world is full of doubt. You ask me what I've found that makes me feel this way. I found it at the mourner's bench when I began to pray. That is why I'm thankful. That's why I sing and shout. God put something in my heart that I can shout about. Thankful cause he heard my prayers and answered me that day. I'm thankful cause he saved me in the good old fashioned way. Told me about a man that walked the shores of Galilee, that opened up the blinded eyes of them that could not see. Told me that he healed the sick and made the dumb to talk. He also said unto the lame, pick up thy bed and walk. That is why I'm thankful. That's why I sing and shout. God put something in my heart I can shout about. Thankful cause he heard my prayers and answered me that day. I'm thankful cause he saved me in that good old fashioned way. That is why I'm thankful. That's why I sing and shout. Something in my heart that I can shout about. Thankful cause he heard my prayers and answered me that day. I'm thankful cause he saved me in a good old fashioned way.
To the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. With my heart rejoicing within, with my mind focused on Him, with my hands raised to the heavens,
all I am,
worshiping Him. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. With my heart rejoicing within, with my mind focused on Him, with my hands raised to the heavens, all I am, worshiping Him. Celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will
will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Lord Jesus, we come before you and we just thank you for the words that we received today, Lord. And we thank you for the ability, Lord, to allow others to be able to hear these words. We know that only through you, Lord, can people come to you. And only through the work of the Holy Spirit can they hear and understand. And we thank you, Lord, for that hearing and understanding. And we thank you, Lord, for walking out with us as we go out into the world each and every day, Lord, that we may be bringing glory to you. And we thank you for being with us. And we love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and laugh as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy.
You are holy. Holy, holy, holy.
to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.